Good morning. Thank you for having me here. On the way in this morning, I said to Barbara, it's going to be wonderful to go to a church service where neither of us has to do anything. I'm so relaxed. This is just amazing. So as we said hello to Reverend Connie, and with this twinkle in her eyes, she said, would you like to do the sermon this morning? And when I hesitated, she turned away. Well, she says, I'll take care of it. She turned away and then looked over her shoulder. Well... So those of you who are aspiring to be message workers and healers and so on, if you feel a gentle push, I'm sure Reverend Connie's responsible for it, and it looks like Greg is becoming almost as bad as she is. So when I speak, I like to tell stories, so I'm going to tell a couple stories this morning, and we'll pull something out of them. Each will pull out, of course, what they need. So I would like to begin by saying I'd like to speak from my heart to yours. The first story comes from the New Jersey Turnpike. I was going into work as a chiropractor in Bayonne, New Jersey one morning, and I looked over and across the median, a flatbed tractor trailer that was unloaded had crossed the median, jumped the median, and was coming across in the path of my car. I had enough time to decide where I was going to hit on the flatbed. I saw it coming over. He was starting to flip. And don't remember a thing after that. Woke up a few moments later. The car was crushed around me. And the thing you don't want to smell in that situation is hot gas, and that's exactly what I smelled. So I was about to panic and thought, okay, we can't go there. A state trooper came by. It was an enormous mess. There were five vehicles involved in this collision, and the truck driver, as it turned out, died in the experience. I had no idea what was going on. I just knew that I was trapped and I wasn't going anywhere because there was no glass left in the car, and the car was crushed over me. After the state trooper left, he said, "Are you okay?" I said, "Yeah, I'm pretty much okay. I knew I hadn't broken anything." And somebody stopped by the door, and he put his hands on the side of the door, and he started talking to me. And I could just about look and see him. I couldn't see his face, but I could see the two hands. And he explained that he was a truck driver and that he just stopped by to see if he could help do anything, and he was just talking to me to calm me down. And he said he was studying to be a minister. I thought, well, this is interesting. I was a minister at that time, so this was good. And what I really wanted at that moment was a little bit of human contact. So I took aim with the eye that could see him, and I reached for the side of the door, and I missed his hand, and he moved his hand over slightly. I guess he didn't realize what I was trying to do, and I took better aim. And this time I got him. I put my hand on top of his for that human contact. And he lifted his head at that moment, and he said a prayer for me in the midst of this horrible traffic accident, in the midst of this noise and confusion and dust and all the smells of a tragic accident, and he prayed for me. I wish I could remember the words, but it felt like somebody was singing. Now, I had just gotten knocked out, and I came back to probably within a minute or two. And so I was probably in both worlds, but the prayer he said for me sounded like the most beautiful music I'd ever heard. So I could only imagine in spirit that a couple of guys were looking down and saying, well, Barney's done it again, and who's available? We'll send somebody. And somebody showed up. So just one other thing about that accident. A couple weeks later, actually a couple months later, I was still in practice, and one of my patients came and said, did you put your foot on the brake when you knew you were going to have a collision? And I said, no, I ducked down and then hit the brake. There was 3 feet of skid marks before the collision. And he said, think about that for a second. What's the first thing you do when you know you're going to have a collision? Put your foot on the brake. If I'd done that, it would have locked my seatbelt, and I would have been sitting upright instead of ducked down when this thing came over and flattened the top of my car. That would have been a very different outcome. So somebody sent me an angel to say a prayer for me. And there was another angel there that told me, don't hit the brakes first. So I'd like to flash forward a few years. I was working as a contractor, as Barbara mentioned. And I worked sometimes for management companies repairing condos. And there was a receptionist or a phone person there that I'd had some contact with, Cindy. She was a lot of fun. We used to banter a little bit when I'd call her up. And it was clear that she was the motivating force in this particular office, so I was very good to Cindy. And I'd heard she moved out to Arizona, and something said, give her a call. So I got her phone number from the office, gave her a call, and it turned out Cindy had fallen off a horse and injured her left chest, and when they had checked it, they found out she had breast cancer on the left side. And I didn't know any of this when I called. And we talked for a little while, and as we were speaking, just as the gentleman with the miracle moment mentioned, a little flash came into my mind, and I saw the left side of her chest that was in trouble. And I asked her, was it on the left side? She said, yes. How did you know that? I said, well, there's something you don't know about me, and that is that I'm a minister and a medium. And on a cell phone whose battery was almost dead when I called, we then talked for about an hour, and her spirit loved ones, six or seven of them, came through at that time. And she verified, yes, her mother was in spirit, and her sister, and an uncle, and so on. And we gave a little bit of identification on each one. So I said, well, how about if I call you up in a couple weeks, and we'll see what, you know, see what there is to talk about. At the time I called her, I didn't even know you could do readings over the phone. But there was an hour's worth of it, and when I hung up, I looked at the phone, and it said, your battery's died, and you can't talk anymore. How that battery lasted for an hour, I don't know. Well, I do. I have a suspicion. But so every 2 weeks or so, I would talk with Cindy, and we went through her bout with breast cancer, and again, her mother would almost always show up and always would give some identification to let Cindy know that she was around. I remember one, I said, you're all going to run into this as mediums. They showed me an image of cauliflower and kind of a sense of humor, a joke about it. I thought, okay, got to give it. So I said, is there some kind of family joke about cauliflower? And she paused for a minute. She said, oh. She says, I just bought six, what do you call them?
Yes.
Thank you, heads of cauliflower. And I put them in the refrigerator, and that night her boyfriend came home with seven heads. So she said, yeah, I get that. And that's her mother letting her know that she's around. So every couple of weeks I would talk with Cindy, and Mom would come through, and sometimes her sister and other relatives, and so on. And we went through all the stages of treatment. Unfortunately, the treatment was not successful. Her family history was not good. Her mother and her sister had both passed from breast cancer. And it seemed to do well for a while, and then it came roaring back. And during that treatment time, when it came roaring back, she isolated a bit. As people, as I'm sure you know, with strong health conditions sometimes do, or any stress in their life. So I waited, and she had moved back to Connecticut. Driving around one afternoon, I felt Cindy's mom coming through, even though I wasn't talking to Cindy. So here I am talking with the spirit, and she says, go visit. I said, I don't want to go visit. I've got errands to do, and I'm busy, and go visit. Now I'm having an argument with the spirit. I've got to go visit. Now I'm losing the argument. I said, okay, it's time to go visit, excuse me. So I walked into the house where she was living and being treated. And as soon as I walked in, her aide said, oh, I'm so glad you're here. I have to go to the bank and I have to be there by 4:00. Can you watch Cindy for a few minutes while I leave early? And at that moment I knew there was reason Mom said to go visit. And Cindy had been isolating up to this point, and then she decided she could talk to me that afternoon. So we got back some of the closeness we enjoyed through the spirit contact. Not like it was before, but it was good enough. So I walked out of there and I said, thank you. Thank you to her mother, who knew that this was the right time to show up. Thank you for being able to listen and follow, even though I protested at first. Thank you for the plan that gives each of us angels and guides and helpers that come up in the right time at the right place when we need them. Thank you for being helped in the car crash. Thank you for being able to give it back somewhere down the road. There's a plan for each of us, and we have a really basic choice. We talk about free will, but I think our free will is to say, I'm going to go along with this plan, or I'm going to go kicking and screaming. Those are your two choices, I believe. You can believe as you wish. When we say there is a plan and we're going to follow it, we make our lives easier. We don't make them easy, because if God is for our growing, God is also for our pruning. So there will be times and circumstances which we have earned and which come to us for our benefit and our upliftment. They come disguised as traffic accidents or breast cancer. Or they come disguised as really joyous things. But they are always, if it's in our life, it's because we've earned it. Again, my thought, you can accept it or as you wish. To take advantage of those circumstances takes a bit of courage. It's like stepping on the end of the diving board and saying, okay, I hope there's some water after I jump off. Water being spirit. And really, the spirit is always with us. It's we who think too much and put up barriers. But the spirit is always with us. But it's that little bit of courage that we need, or sometimes a big bit, that helps us on our way. That gives us the moment to pause, meditate. God, what are you teaching me? What do I need to learn? Maybe not just one lesson in this circumstance, but maybe a few. That people really care. I know there's lots of people that don't, but that people really care. Someone stopped and had the good sense to stand and talk to me when I desperately needed some human contact. How I had the good sense to call somebody I had no idea needed help, and then to do mediumship on somebody who didn't know me really very well, or know that I was a minister or a medium. So I say thank you for those events. I say thank you for almost all the events in my life. I still have some clay feet, but I say thank you for the events in my life. I've earned them, and they're there for my benefit and to teach me. We are lights to one another. We bless all our circumstances. We bless all those around us, particularly those who don't understand us and believe they know much more than we do. We are lights to one another because we can sit for a moment and accept the presence of the divine, which is within us, and get answers to the things we need to know for ourselves, or, like my friend Cindy, for others. The one question I never wanted to ask about Cindy was, is she going to make it? I didn't want to know. I just didn't want to know. One morning at 6 o'clock meditation, I heard that voice that I've only heard a couple of times. I hear voices from time to time, but this particular one only comes in under dire circumstances, going back over 40 years. And that was, Cindy's going to die. Okay. I would have liked not to have that outcome, but on the other hand, if Cindy's going to pass, how much more wonderful is it to know that her mother's going to be there to greet her, and her sister and her uncle, and so on. So sometimes these big events we can't change as we might want to, but we can go into them with the knowledge that there is always someone with us on this side, but always on the other side, our spirit friends and loved ones and our guides and our angels and all the helpers. Let's seek the divine within ourselves. Let's seek the divine within each other. Let us grow in love and understanding and compassion. Now, if you would all just close your eyes for a moment, lift your chin slightly. I'd like to recite a prayer that I was taught many years ago when Barbara and I were students, which is this: peace, perfect, profound peace. As these thoughts ascend into the ethers, may they gather under themselves all thoughts, all hopes, all prayers for peace. And as they encircle this universe as a robe of light and love, may they touch the hearts and minds of all who dwell thereon. Peace, perfect, profound peace. I wish you much love and peace in your day. Thank you.
Thank you for great.